Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Thomas Hobbes' Leviathan is a foundational work of political philosophy that examines what makes social order possible and what gives a government legitimate authority. Written during a period of civil conflict in England, the book argues that stable peace requires a powerful common authority capable of restraining violence and resolving disputes. Hobbes begins with an account of human nature, emphasizing desire, fear, competition, and the drive for self-preservation. From there, he builds a theory of the state as an artificial person created through collective agreement, in which individuals transfer certain rights to a sovereign in exchange for security. Leviathan also tackles religion and ecclesiastical power, insisting that divided spiritual and civil authority can destabilize a commonwealth. Readers encounter a rigorous attempt to ground politics in a clear view of incentives, coercion, law, and institutional design. Whether approached as political theory, intellectual history, or a study of state power, the book remains influential for debates about authority, liberty, and the conditions for lasting peace. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, human nature, passion, and the roots of conflict. Leviathan begins by treating politics as an outgrowth of how people think, want, and fear. Hobbes portrays human beings as driven by appetites and aversions, constantly evaluating what seems beneficial or threatening. This psychological starting point matters because it explains why conflict is not a rare accident, but a predictable result of ordinary motives. When resources, status, and safety feel uncertain, people compete, mistrust one another, and seek preemptive advantage. Even those who prefer peace may still arm themselves or act aggressively because they cannot rely on others to refrain from harm. Hobbes also stresses equality in vulnerability, since nearly anyone can be killed or coerced, making fear a universal political fact. By grounding political problems in incentives rather than virtue, he frames public order as a design challenge, how to align private interests with common security. This topic prepares the reader to see law, punishment, and authority not as moral ornaments but as tools that respond to deep patterns in human behavior. It also clarifies why Hobbes thinks mere moral exhortation cannot reliably prevent cycles of retaliation and escalation. Secondly, the state of nature, and why peace needs an enforceable framework. A central idea in Leviathan is the state of nature, a thought experiment describing life without a common power able to enforce rules. Hobbes uses it to highlight that agreements alone do not create security when there is no trusted authority to compel performance. In such a condition, people may recognize that cooperation is advantageous, yet still find it rational to defect when they fear being exploited. The result is pervasive insecurity, where even productive activity becomes risky because its rewards invite seizure. Hobbes connects this analysis to the laws of nature, practical principles that recommend seeking peace, keeping covenants, and showing reciprocity when safe to do so. The crucial limitation is that these principles remain fragile without credible enforcement. By separating the recognition of peaceful norms from the capacity to sustain them, Hobbes explains why political order requires institutions with coercive power. This topic helps readers understand the logic behind Hobbesian sovereignty, not because domination is desirable in itself, but because a shared enforcement mechanism changes the payoff structure of social life. With enforcement, promises become meaningful, property becomes stable, and disputes can be settled without private violence. Thirdly, the social contract and the creation of the sovereign. Hobbes presents the commonwealth as an artificial construction formed when individuals authorize a single person or assembly to act on their behalf. This authorization is the core of the social contract in Leviathan. People mutually agree to transfer certain rights of self-governance so that a sovereign can decide and enforce rules with sufficient strength. Hobbes argues that the legitimacy of the sovereign comes from this act of authorization rather than from divine right or inherited privilege. Once created, the sovereign represents the unity of the multitude, turning many wills into one public will for matters of law and defense. Hobbes pays special attention to the difference between authorizing an institution and merely obeying it out of fear. Authorization makes subjects responsible for the sovereign's public acts in a specific sense, because the sovereign is empowered to act as their representative. This helps explain why Hobbes insists on strong, undivided authority. Fragmented power produces competing claims to representation and weakens enforcement. Readers also encounter Hobbes' views on what rights can and cannot be surrendered, including the basic impulse to self-preserve. The topic illuminates modern debates about consent, representation, and the foundations of political obligation. Fourthly, law, punishment, liberty, and the mechanics of governance. Leviathan develops a practical account of how a stable commonwealth functions, focusing on lawmaking, adjudication, and the credible threat of punishment. For Hobbes, law is not simply a moral guideline, but a command backed by power, publicly known, and oriented toward peace. Punishment is essential because it supplies the cost that makes compliance rational for individuals who might otherwise exploit others. Hobbes also explores the meaning of liberty within a political order. Rather than treating liberty as the absence of all restraint, he defines it in relation to impediments and to the space left open by law. This yields a view in which subjects can be free in many everyday actions while still being bound by sovereign commands on core matters of security. Hobbes discusses the dangers of unclear laws, competing authorities, and seditious teachings that undermine obedience. He is especially concerned with how rhetoric and ideology can erode common standards and invite factional violence. This topic helps readers see Hobbes as an institutional thinker. He cares about predictable rules, unified jurisdiction, and the administrative capacity to collect resources and defend the realm. It also clarifies the trade-off he accepts between broad sovereign power and the benefits of civil peace. Lastly, religion, ecclesiastical authority, and the risk of divided power. A distinctive element of Leviathan is its extended treatment of religion and church governance as political problems. Hobbes argues that competing claims to spiritual authority can destabilize a state by creating rival loyalties and alternative sources of law. When religious institutions present themselves as independent from civil power, they may claim the right to judge doctrine, command behavior, or punish dissent in ways that conflict with public order. Hobbes therefore seeks to subordinate ecclesiastical governance to the sovereign, aiming to prevent civil war fueled by doctrinal disputes and clerical ambition. He is skeptical of interpretations that encourage subjects to disobey civil law on the basis of private conscience or competing religious commands. Hobbes also emphasizes how disputes over scripture and prophecy can be manipulated, producing fear, superstition, and faction. By reframing religious conflict in terms of authority and enforcement, he treats unity of command as the remedy for political fragmentation. This topic is valuable for understanding how Hobbes connects intellectual controversy to material instability. Ideas about divine law can have real consequences when they legitimize resistance or undermine the courts. It also shows why Leviathan remains relevant to discussions of church-state relations, pluralism, and the governance challenges posed by competing moral communities. In conclusion, Leviathan is best suited for readers who want to understand the deep logic behind modern states, including students of political theory, law, history, international relations, and anyone interested in why societies choose authority over anarchy. It benefits the reader by offering a clear, unsentimental model of conflict and cooperation grounded in incentives and insecurity. Even when one disagrees with Hobbes, his framework sharpens thinking about why rules fail without enforcement, why institutions must manage distrust, and how legitimacy can be constructed through collective authorization. The book is also useful for contemporary life because it clarifies recurring issues, polarization, misinformation, contested authority, and the tension between freedom and security. Compared with similar classics, Leviathan stands out for its systematic structure, moving from psychology to social contract to governance and religious power in a single integrated argument. Where other works may idealize civic virtue or assume harmony, Hobbes explains stability in conditions of fear and rivalry, making his account unusually durable across eras. Buying this book is worthwhile because it remains a central reference point for debates about sovereignty, consent, coercion, and the limits of plural authority, and it provides conceptual tools that continue to inform public policy and constitutional thinking. If you would like to support Thomas Hobbes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.